The Vessel of Wrath, with Anna Massey, Bill Nighy and Timothy Spall, and Dirk Bogarde as the narrator.
It was from the lips of the controller of the Alice Islands, Mynheer Evert Greuter, that I learned about these somewhat surprising events. I shouldn't blame you if you'd never heard of the Alice Islands. They are, according to the relevant volume of the sailing directions published by the Hydrographic Department of the Admiralty, a chain of islands of Dutch New Guinea, extending about 75 miles east and west, and 40 miles north and south. The population of the group is estimated at about 8,000, of whom 200 are Chinese and 400 Mohammedans. The rest are heathen, and thus constitute an irresistible attraction to the missionary movement. The principal island is called Baru, and it's here that the Dutch controller lives.
Yes, Sumbawa.
Pardon, Tuan Greuter. Tuan Jones has come to the office. He is saying, can he see you?
Oh, can't the fellow give a man time to get dressed in the morning before rolling up on his doorstep?
He can, Tuan Greuter. But he has not.
Go and tell Tuan to wait on the veranda. Say I shall come directly. Ah, good morning, Mr. Jones. Have you come in to have a peg with me before I start my day's work?
I've come to see you on a very distressing matter, Mr. Greuter.
Well, sit down, my dear fellow. Have a cigar.
Mr. Greuter, this is no occasion for levity. You are perfectly well aware that as head of the Baptist mission here, I neither drink nor smoke. Not, I hasten to add, that I would do so even if I did not hold that position.
I am convinced of it, Mr. Jones. And how is Miss Jones?
My sister is in excellent health, I am pleased to say. But I am not here to exchange small talk, Mr. Greuter. There is something far more serious to discuss.
Do please sit down, Mr. Jones. Now, what can I do for you?
I've come to see you about this man they call Ginger Ted. What are you going to do about him this time?
This time? Why? What's happened?
Haven't you heard? There was a most disgraceful incident in one of the Chinese shops last night. Ginger Ted wrecked the place and half killed the owner.
Drunk again, I suppose.
Naturally. When is he anything else? They sent for the police, and he assaulted the sergeant. They needed 6 men to get into the jail.
He's a hefty fellow.
I suppose you'll send him to Macassar to be dealt with?
Fortunately, Mr. Jones, my powers are wide enough for me to deal with the situation myself.
You have power to deport anyone you like, Mr. Greuter. I'm sure it'd save a lot of trouble if you got rid of the man altogether. His presence here is a public scandal. He's never sober from morning to night. It's notorious that he has relations with one native woman after another.
And have you ever attempted to reform Ginger Ted?
Most certainly. When he first drifted here, I went and talked to him straight from the shoulder. He swore at me.
Mr. Jones, I appreciate the work that you, your sister, and all the other missionaries do on these islands. But are you sure you are always as tactful as you could be?
Did Jesus exercise tact when he took a whip and drove the money changers from the temple? Mr. Greuter, circumstances have presented us with a golden opportunity. This time he has overstepped the limit. Use your powers and turn him out once and for all.
Mr. Jones, you shock me. Are you asking me to deport this man before I've heard the evidence against him and listen to his defense?
I don't know what his defense could possibly be.
Mr. Jones, I'm here to administer justice according to the laws of the Dutch government. Now, if you excuse me, it is time for me to go to my office. I wish you a good morning.
The court was sitting that day, and Mr. Greuter proceeded to the courtroom to hear the day's cases. It was a big square room with wooden benches on which, crowded together, sat Polynesians, Bugis, Chinese, and Malays.
Break silence for His Excellency, the Controller of the Alice Islands.
Yes, yes, good morning, good morning. Yes, now what have we this morning?
This morning, Your Excellency, I am sorry to inform you that we have Ginger Ted. Shall we bring him up?
Yes, yes, of course, yes.
Ginger Ted was brought into the dock handcuffed, a warder on either side. The controller looked at him gravely, but he couldn't keep the amusement out of his eyes. Ginger Ted was suffering from a hangover. He swayed a little, and his eyes were vacant. He was a man of about 30, with a bloated red face and a shock of curly ginger hair. He wore khaki shorts, very dirty and ragged, and his singlet had been almost torn off his back.
Well, Ginger, and what have you got to say for yourself?
Well, I was blind. I don't remember a thing about it. If they'd say I half killed him, I suppose I did. I'll pay the damage if they'll give me time.
You will, Ginger. But it is me who give you time. Ginger, you have been a trouble ever since you came to the islands. You're idle and you've been picked up dead, drunk, time and time again.
Well,
I told you last time that if you were arrested again, I would deal with you severely. Well, this time, you're for it. 6 months hard labour.
Me?
You!
By God, I'll kill you when I come out. Blast my eyes if I don't. You'll be sorry for this, Crudge, and see if you're not. 6 months for something I don't even kick them off. Something I don't even remember. What sort of justice is that?
Ginger Ted had wandered in one day on the ship that was going up from Morocco to Macassar. He'd stopped off at the Alice Islands because he liked the look of them. Mr. Goiter suspected that their main attraction was that they were under the Dutch flag, and so out of British jurisdiction. But his papers were in order, so there was no reason why he shouldn't stay. He was in receipt of £2 a week, paid monthly, which came regularly to him from England. The controller told me that he guessed that this sum was paid only so long as Ginger Ted kept well away from the persons who'd sent it.
You understand the nuances of the English class system far better than any Dutchman could. What class would you say Ginger Ted belonged to?
Well, I take it he was English.
Oh, yes, I learned that from his passport. Edward Wilson, born in England, but spent quite a few years in Australia.
Oh, well, then he certainly belonged to some niche of the class system. Let me see. Well, in England, a man is very often judged by his dress.
Good heavens, all I ever saw him in usually was a filthy singlet, a pair of ragged trousers, and a battered topi.
And then, of course, as George Bernard Shaw so aptly puts it, Englishmen give themselves away every time they open their mouths.
If you judged Ginger Ted by his normal tone of phrase, you'd have thought he was born and bred in the gutter, a labourer or a common sailor who deserted ship.
Well, what led you to think he was anything else?
His handwriting, for one. That clearly betrayed some education. But the surprising thing about Ginger Ted was his conversation. If you ever managed to catch him when he'd had a few drinks but wasn't yet drunk, he'd speak to me then as an equal. But I must admit the occasions were few and far between.
And what sort of a prisoner did he make during his 6 months' hard labour?
Exemplary. No booze, you see. After a month or two, when I had to send a gang to one of the outlying islands to do some work there, I included him in the party. As the job would last out the rest of his sentence, I saw him just before he left.
No hard feelings, Hoyta. Take no notice of my threats. I was a bit hungover that morning.
Ah, it's forgotten already. Look, here's 10 guilder for you, Ginger.
Oh.
You can buy yourself tobacco while you're away.
Couldn't you make it a bit more? There's £8 a month coming in regularly, you know.
I think that's enough. I'll keep the letters that come for you, and when you're back, you'll have a tidy sum. Enough to take you anywhere you want to go.
I'm very comfortable here, thanks.
Well, the day you come back, clean yourself up and come over to my house. We'll have a bottle of beer together.
And this is where chance steps in. It happened that when Ginger Ted's sentence had only a fortnight more to run, the Christian headman of the village was suddenly taken ill. Native remedies were tried to no avail, and the man writhed in agony. One of the sailboats, known as Prahus, was sent to Baru begging for the missionary's help. Now, as ill luck would have it, at that very time, Mr. Jones was suffering from an acute attack of malaria. He was confined to his bed and was quite unable to move.
It sounds like acute appendicitis.
You can't possibly go, Owen.
But I can't let the man die.
But Owen, you have a temperature of 104. How on earth do you think you're going to survive a 50-mile sea voyage in an open boat? Even if you didn't kill yourself, you couldn't possibly perform an operation.
I fear you're right, Martha. Hassan must go.
Hassan? But Hassan's never operated on his own. Besides, they'd never let him. No, Owen. There's only one thing for it. I must go. Hassan can stay here and look after you.
You can't remove an appendix.
Why not? I've seen you do it, and I've done lots of minor operations. I shall go, Owen.
But, Martha,
there's nothing more to be said. Now, you just lie back and rest. Try and get some sleep. There's nothing to worry about.
Miss Martha Jones, tall, thin, with lank brown hair drawn back straight from her forehead, was a woman of hard on 40. Nothing in her appearance would have prepared you for such determination. The contrast between this appearance of weakness and her actual strength of character thoroughly unsettled most people she came into contact with.
I saw at once that if I was to save the headman's life, there wasn't a moment to lose. But, Owen, the conditions on that island, can you imagine?
How did you manage with the anaesthetic?
I showed one of the natives how to give it, and then I operated. I did everything as you would have done, Owen. I think you would have approved.
I'm sure I should.
For the next 3 days, I nursed the poor man as best I could, until I was sure the operation was a success. Mm. Then I stayed long enough to remove the stitches.
Have you considered the risk you took, Martha? If the poor fellow had died...
If he had died, it would have undone years and years of missionary endeavour in these islands, as it was.
Thanks to you.
If you could only have seen how our success cast the good seed in places where, under divine providence, it might take root and flourish.
Let us pray that it does.
So I prepared to return to Baru. The launch put in late in the afternoon. I was sitting there, waiting for it to start, when suddenly, coming from the trees and surrounded by natives, I saw Ginger Ted.
No.
It was only then that I discovered that his term was up and that he was to be returned to Baru in the launch.
Oh.
He came on board, clutching a jar, which I suspected contained the native spirit.
Mm.
I, of course, ignored the man, and he climbed onto a pile of sacks and lit a cigarette.
Oh.
I must say, Owen, that my heart sank at the thought that he was coming back to Baru to create even more trouble, especially since you'd gone to such lengths to have him deported.
To no avail, I'm afraid.
When we had crossed the bar and were in the open sea, I saw Ginger Ted take the stopper out of the jar and take a long drink.
Oh, my goodness.
Then he handed the jar to the two crew members. Would you please not drink while we're on the journey? You're supposed to be manning this boat.
A little art can do no one any harm. Here, Tandy, have some.
If you drink again, I shall complain to the controller.
Do what you like to the controller.
Poor controller.
Now, Owen, imagine how I felt as time passed, and the three men with me became drunker and drunker.
Mm.
I began to pray for journey's end and a safe return to the mission. And then... disaster!
Disaster? What do you mean? Martha, my dear, what happened?
We were passing a tiny uninhabited island, little more than a rock in the ocean, overgrown with virgin forest, when the engine suddenly stopped.
Oh.
I sat and waited while the chief mechanic went to take a look. After a while, the engine started again, but it was rattling and vibrating, and we simply crawled along. Soon I saw that we'd altered course, and we're heading for the island.
No.
You're not going there. Why? What's the matter?
I can't get to Baru.
But you must. I insist. I order you to go to Baru.
One of the propeller blades is broken off. He thinks he can get as far as that island. We'll have to stay the night there, and he'll put on a new propeller in the morning when the tide's out.
But I can't spend the night on an uninhabited island with three men.
Well, a lot of women have jumped at it.
I insist on going to Baru. Whatever happens, we must get there tonight.
Now, don't get excited, old girl. We've got to beach the boat to put a new propeller on. We'll be all right on the island.
How dare you speak to me like
that? You'll be okay. We've got plenty of grub and we'll have a snack when we land. Here, have a drop of arak. It'll warm you up no end.
Impertinence! If you don't go to Baru, I'll have you all put in prison.
We're not going to Baru. We can't. We're going to that island. And if you don't like it, you can get out and swim.
Oh.
What a dreadful position to find yourself in.
Indeed. But I didn't intend to bandy words with that vile wretch. We crawled towards the island. And as the moon rose, I could see Ginger Ted sprawling on top of the piled copra sacks. He looked strangely sinister in the half-light. And then a sudden, horrifying thought struck me. A thought so horrifying that I nearly fainted. This broken propeller, Had they planned the whole thing?
Oh.
Was it a plot to get me alone on the island? I knew all about Ginger Ted. He was mad about women. Mm. He would seize the opportunity. He would rape me.
Oh, my dear Martha.
Yes, yes, I was sure of it. Didn't we know all about how he carried on with the native women? And now, here I was, a white woman at his mercy. What chance that he'd spare me? I knew men.
I'm sure you are brave, Martha.
I needed courage. I would sell my virtue dearly. And if he killed me, well, I would rest in the arms of Jesus.
There now then, miss, you better get out. You'll be better off on the beach than in the boat. Here, take my hand.
I don't require your help, thank you very much.
Oh, go to hell.
The engineers and Ginger Ted gathered round the broken propeller. Miss Jones took advantage of her preoccupation to get out her case of surgical instruments. She took out the four scalpels it contained and secreted them in her clothing. If Ginger Ted touched her, she would not hesitate to plunge a scalpel in his heart.
It's damn lucky we've got something to eat. We'll make a fire and then you'd better have a snack and a nip of arrack.
I want nothing. I only want to be left alone.
Well, it won't hurt me if you go hungry.
She walked head erect along the beach, holding the largest scalpel in her closed fist. She looked for a place to hide. And presently she found a little hollow and slipped in. There was a rock between her and them, so that while she was hidden from them, she could see what they were doing. She watched them build a fire. It lit them luridly. And then she saw them sit around it and eat. And she saw the jar of arak pass from one to the other. They were all going to get drunk. What would happen to her then?
Oh, Owen, I was at my wit's end. Perhaps I could have coped with Ginger Ted alone, but against three of them I'd be powerless. Mm. And then, afterwards, how could I come back to you, Owen?
Where else, my dear Martha?
And then, supposing I had a baby.
Oh,
it was too much. I flung myself down on my knees and prayed to God to save me.
When she next peeped round the rock, the fire was dying down and the three men were smoking. Now was the time that Ginger Ted's lewd thoughts might be expected to turn to the woman who was at his mercy. She smothered a cry, for suddenly got up and walked in her direction. She clenched the scalpel firmly in her hand. But it was for another purpose that Ginger Ted had got up. Miss Jones blushed and looked away. Crouching behind the rock, she watched with straining eyes as the conversation round the fire grew less, and presently saw the two natives wrap themselves in blankets. This was the moment Ginger Ted had been waiting for, when they were fast asleep. She waited. But Ginger Ted did not move. She was feeling terribly tired. She began to fear that now she wouldn't have the strength to resist him. She'd gone through too much. She closed her eyes just for a moment.
When I opened them, it was broad daylight. I was covered with two empty copra sacks. Someone had come in the night and put them over me.
Do you mean...
Ginger Ted. For one instant I thought, has he outraged me while I slept? No, it was impossible. And yet, Owen, he had me at his mercy. Defenseless. And he'd spared me. I picked up the two sacks and walked towards the boat. It was floating in the shallow waters of the lagoon.
Come on, Miss Jones, we've finished. I was just going to wake you up. Sleep well? Have a banana. I'll bet you're hungry.
Thank you.
Now, step on this rock and you'll be able to get in without wetting your feet. There you are. You give me a hand, that's right, there you are. Right, away we go.
I saw you haven't forgotten my invitation, Ginger.
Not likely. I've been looking forward to this for 6 months.
Zumbaba, fetch two beers.
Two bottles of beer, Twan. And for you?
What do you mean for me? One bottle is for me.
Do you not think, Tuan, I should bring four bottles? It would save time.
I see you recognize my guest, Sumbawa. Four bottles, then.
As you wish, Tuan.
Sumbawa never changes.
No. What about you?
Oh, you know me.
Indeed, I do. For example, I have here the money I've been holding for you. £48. You will, of course, be required to make good the damage you did to the shop you wrecked, but that would still leave you over 30. Jeez. That's a lot of money to you. You ought to do something useful with it.
I mean to. Spend it.
Well, that's what money's for, I suppose. Ah, the beer.
Ah.
And Mr. Jones is outside, Tuan, and wishes to talk to you.
Well, ask him in, then. Ask him in. Here's luck, Ginger.
Same to you, Controller.
Good evening. I won't detain you long. I've been trying to get hold of this good man all day. And when I heard he was here, I thought you wouldn't mind my coming. Sir, I want to thank you.
Me?
You had my sister at your mercy. And you spared her. I thought you were all evil, and I am ashamed. She was defenseless. She was in your power. You had pity on her. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Neither my sister nor I will ever forget. God bless and guard you always.
What?
How mighty is the Lord.
What the blazes does he mean? If you don't stop laughing, I'll break your bloody head.
Oh, Lord, Lord. He's thanking you for having respected the virtue of Miss Jones.
That old cow, what does he take me for?
You have a reputation of being a rather hot stuff of the girls, Ginger.
But I wouldn't touch her with a fag end of a barge pole. Never entered my head, the nerve. In his blasted neck. It's an insult, that's what it is. A bloody insult.
About a fortnight after his release from prison, Ginger Ted was sitting on a stool outside a Chinese shop, looking vacantly down the street, when he saw Mr. Jones coming along.
How do you do, Mr. Edward? My sister told me I should find you here.
Oh, go to hell.
We'd be so very glad if you'd come to dinner with us next Sunday. My sister's a capital cook, and she'll make you a real Australian dinner.
Oh, go to hell.
That's not very gracious. You visit the controller from time to time. Why not come to us?
Well, I haven't got clothes fit to go out in.
Oh, never mind about that. Come as you are.
But I won't.
48 hours later, a parcel mysteriously arrived at Ginger Ted's lodgings. It contained a suit of ducks, a tennis shirt, a pair of socks, and some shoes. He was not used to receiving presents, and he asked the controller if he'd sent the things.
Not on your life. I don't care what you wear.
A few days later, Miss Jones had occasion to call on the controller. When she'd concluded her business, it seemed as if an afterthought had struck her.
Oh, Mr. Crichter, my brother is very anxious that we should have the man they call Ginger Ted to supper with us. I've written him a little note inviting him for the day after tomorrow, but I think he's rather shy, and I wonder if you'd come with him.
That's very kind of you.
Will you persuade him to come? I'm sure he will if you make a point of it. It seems such a pity to let a young man like that go to pieces altogether.
I'll do my best.
How old is he, Mr. Crichter?
According to his passport, he's 31.
And what's his real name?
Wilson.
Edward Wilson. Yes. Well, good day to you, Mr. Crichter.
Hot for dummer.
The controller did his job well and persuaded a reluctant Ginger Ted to come with him to the Joneses' party. But when 7 o'clock arrived, Ginger Ted was elsewhere, dead drunk. And Mr. Reuter had to go alone.
I'm afraid it's no good, Martha. The man's hopeless.
No one is hopeless. Everyone has some good in him. Isn't that so, Mr. Reuter?
Yes.
I shall pray for him every night. It would be wicked to doubt the power of God.
Perhaps Miss Jones was right. But divine providence took a funny way to effect its ends. A man died mysteriously after visiting one of the islands, and the controller heard that there had been several deaths there. He sent the official doctor and very soon learned that the deaths were due to cholera. It was an epidemic. The controller sent for Mr. Jones.
I've been expecting a message from you. That is why I've brought my sister. We are at your disposal.
I need you here on Barrow, Mr. Jones. We have the largest population here, and this is where your medical skill will be most needed. Mm-hmm. But I do need someone trustworthy to visit the outlying islands.
I shall go, Mr. Kreuter. I believe I have already proved that I'm quite capable of coping.
I wouldn't think of allowing you to go unaccompanied. The natives on some of the more remote islands are totally unpredictable.
I'm not afraid.
I dare say, Miss Jones, but if you have your throat cut, I shall get into trouble.
Then let Mr. Wilson come with me.
Martha.
He knows the natives better than anyone.
Ginger Ted, he's just getting over an attack of the DD.
I know. I also know that there's nothing like responsibility for bringing out what there is in a man.
Do you think he'd be of any use?
I'm convinced of it.
Then let's send for him.
It was my suggestion, Mr. Wilson. You see, they want me to go to Lobobo and Sokunchi. I thought if you came, I should be safer.
Why should I care if they cut your throat? Well,
there's no reason why you should. I'm sorry I asked you. It wasn't fair to ask you to take such a risk.
Oh, hell, have it your own way. I'll come with you. When do you want to start?
The epidemic raged for 4 months. The controller worked like a dog, and when the epidemic had run its course, he rejoiced that out of a population of 8,000, only 600 had died. And finally he was able to give the district a clean bill of health. One evening he was sitting in his sarong on the veranda of his house, reading a French novel, happy in the knowledge that once more he could take things easy.
Tuan, somebody you have never seen before is asking to talk with you.
Now, what's his name, Zimbabwe?
Tuan Ginger.
Ginger Ted? What do you mean, someone I've never seen before? You're talking in riddles, Zimbabwe. You will explain later. Send him in.
You will see, Tuan.
Good heavens above, Ginger. What on earth has happened to you? You look as though you've been spending a month at a health resort instead of nursing a pack of natives dying of cholera. Have you just stepped out of a bandbox?
2 glasses of beer, Tuan.
Thank you, Zimbabwe. Help yourself, Ginger.
I don't think I'll have any, thank you. I don't mind having a cup of tea.
A cup of... what?
Tea. I'm on the wagon.
What on earth has brought this on?
Quite simple, really. I'm going to be married.
You astound me. Who to?
Martha.
Miss Jones? I don't believe it. You can't marry Miss Jones. No one could marry Miss Jones.
Well, I'm going to. That's what I've come to see you about. Owen's going to marry us in chapel, but we want to be married by Dutch law as well.
A joke's a joke, Ginger. What's the idea?
She fell for me that night we spent marooned on the island. She's not a bad old girl when you get to know her. It's her last chance, if you know what I mean, and I'd like to do something to oblige her. And she wants someone to take care of her, there's no doubt about that.
Ginger, Ginger, she'll have you a damned missionary before you can say knife.
Well, I don't know I'd mind that so much if we had a little mission of our own. She says I'm a bloody marvel with the natives. I've converted 17 already.
I didn't know you believed in Christianity.
Well, I don't know that I did exactly, but when I talked to them, they just came into the fold like a lot of sheep, gave me quite a turn.
I tell you what to do. I lend you the launch, and you can go and hide on one of the islands till the next ship comes along.
It's no good, Hoyter. Yeah, I know you mean well, but I'm going to marry the blasted woman, and that's that. Christ, can that girl make a treacle pudding?
Ah, there you are, Edward. Good evening, Controller.
Miss Jones, Mr. Jones.
Good evening.
I believe congratulations are in order.
You see, Mr. Kreuter, I was right after all. Everyone has some good in them. You'll never guess where we're going for our honeymoon.
Java?
No. If you'll lend us the launch, we're going to that island where we were marooned. It has very tender recollections for both of us. It was there that I first guessed how fine and good Edward was. It's there I want him to have his reward.
The controller bit his tongue.
In The Vessel of Wrath by Somerset Maugham, Dirk Bogart was the narrator, with Anna Massey as Martha Jones, Bill Nighy as Ginger Ted, and Timothy Spall as the Dutch Controller. David Timpson was Mr. Jones, Roger May, Sumbawa, and Andrew Branch, the engineer. The Vessel of Wrath was dramatized by Neville Tenner and directed by Janet Whittaker.